Hello and welcome to Not a Safe Space. This is Sabrina.
And Tabby.
Hey girl, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Good. Kind of cold. Are you cold?
Yeah, it is freaking freezing outside. A nice day to do episode 27.
Yes, I noticed some of our friends from the north in the Virginia Beach, Chesapeake area all woke up to a light dusting of snow this morning.
Oh, so that's why it's raining and freezing here.
Yeah, we basically get their leftovers.
Yeah, and it's pretty shitty leftovers.
It is, because we don't get the benefit of snow days. We just get to freeze our asses off.
Right. They're like, no. You've got to still go do everything else. Now, mind you, our freezing weather is 60 and not 30 below, but it still sucks.
I think I'm a little colder than that. 43.
It's 43?
Yeah, so I'd like some sympathy, mother... Oh, I was just about to say the F word, and on my goal list is to stop cussing as much. I listened to episode 26, and I'm a terrible potty mouth.
Well, yeah, you were pissed off in the last episode. Remember, you even said, I get all riled up and I cuss like a fucking sailor.
I know, it was terrible. It's terrible. I'm going to be try to be more mindful of it for our sweet listeners that might be listening at work and have to wear headphones because they're scared to death that I'm going to get them fired.
Oh, boy. So does that mean I have to be on good behavior now?
Absolutely not.
Okay, because I'm not fucking doing it.
Right. I think my F-bomb count, it probably double exceeded yours in the last episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah, probably so.
So, hey, tell me what happened. I saw a Facebook post. You had a chicken in your bathroom?
Yeah, I had a fucking chicken in my bathroom.
How does that happen?
Well, you know, we have a little farm, sort of. Mm-hmm. And now that we're down to one chicken, which I call chicken, that's its name per me. Now, perfect. Pam and Mason named it Marie, but I call it chicken.
Okay.
In traditional tabby fashion.
That's okay. We had a cat named Kitty.
Well, right. And we had a pig named Bunny.
Right. So how did chicken get into your house?
So chicken now likes to hang around the house. Chicken has been in the backseat of my car. Chicken has, you know, goes into the garage and the laundry room and in our trailer with the tools. So Dion left the garage door open and I came inside and I went to go pee. There was a chicken in my bathroom and she's just plucking away and looking at herself in the mirror. And she's like, I feel so pretty. Oh, so pretty.
So, did you pee while the chicken was in the bathroom?
Fuck no.
Yeah, I'd be scared to death.
So, I don't like birds.
Okay, me neither.
And so, this one, I was like, hey, Dion, there's a fucking chicken in the bathroom. So, I went on live on Facebook, and everybody was dying from it. And, of course, I had to stop it short because Dion's like, I'm not going to be on. He's like, I'm not going to be on Facebook. I haven't showered, right?
Yeah, because we have smell-o-vision.
Right. Well, you know, he's looking
all
grody.
He didn't have his concealer on and all that good stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, concealer thief.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am. Yeah. So how did you get the chicken out? He just came and grabbed it?
Yeah, just grabbed it and threw it out. Now, guess what happened yesterday? And I didn't get it on the thing. Somehow or another, and it wasn't Dion's fault because he wasn't home, but the chicken got in my kitchen.
So it keeps getting inside the house.
It keeps getting inside the house. The chicken was in my kitchen. And I'm like, what the hell? The only chicken I want in my kitchen is the one I'm cooking.
Right, exactly. Well, why don't you pull the cleaver out and show that MF-er what he's in store for if he trespasses again.
Right. But, you know, the chicken's kind of sweet. So he comes or she comes up to us all the time. It's like, hey, what's up? Hey, guys. I mean, it greets the freaking UPS guy.
That's so funny. There's
kind of like a dog.
Yeah. There's a funny video about, is it a chicken or a turkey with the UPS guy that they kind of stalk him as he comes out the door. And then he starts chasing him into the van. And the other guy in the UPS truck is recording it. It's hilarious.
Oh, I have to see that.
Because when the guy walked up to the door, the turkey, chicken, whatever the hell it was, walks up and positioned himself in the pathway. So he knew what he was doing. Like, he was being territorial and then started, like, got his chest really large and started coming at him. And the guy is looking at him like, don't do it, don't do it. And then took off running. And now the thing's chasing him down the driveway. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it's probably either a rooster or a male turkey at Tom. Because right. They are very territorial.
It was hilarious. So speaking about, you know, dead things, if this thing comes back in your house, we've had a very exciting week here on in the O-Dub in Jacksonville. Dead bodies, girl.
What?
Yeah.
Dead bodies?
The exit down the street from us. They're doing construction. They're expanding. Well, first of all, you know all of Florida is under construction at all times. You live, you know, near Orlando. You know the pain. Same thing with Jacksonville. So the exit down the street, they're expanding. The other night, a bulldozer was moving dirt, and they found a human skull.
What? Weren't you just talking on the other episode about how many, like, dead bodies are in the woods?
Yes. And it's not, I'm not wrong. So when this child went missing years ago, Lonnie Barton.
Oh, it was a baby skull?
Well, no, but I'm just saying when this kid went missing a couple years ago and they were searching for him, they found like a car in a pond with a dead body in it. They found another dead body in the woods. Like, we got dead bodies in everywhere in Jacksonville, right? So
right.
They find this skull. They have to shut down construction. The police come. And Ethan and I drove past there the other day. You can see the tents up. You saw all these volunteers come because now they have to shift through. We looked it up. There's like 200 and something human bones. And they're going to search for all of it, right? So first of all, you know there's a contractor pissed off. The Department of Transportation is pissed off. And the moment they started construction on this site, there's a murderer that was like, oh, crap. Fuck. Yeah, like, thank you.
I'll say it for you all. Fuck.
Right. Now, look, your count is going to double because you're going to replace for me.
Pretty much, but I'm okay right. with that.
Right. So, you know he's been worried, like, okay, today's the day. Today's the day. Today's the day. Nope. It's been under construction for a year, so they finally find it, right?
Uh-huh.
So, we're super excited. Like, okay, great. Well, that also means probably that a missing person case is going to be solved. And I love murder. And we're super excited. Last night, more human remains found down the street.
Is it the same body or is it a different one?
A different body.
Okay.
But it's where they were getting the dirt from. So now they're trying to figure out, did they grab this dead body from this new site and bring it to the construction site?
Oh.
Or even better.
Even better?
Is there a serial killer in the O-Dub?
Well, yes. Yes, there is. There's probably more that than might... one serial killer in the O-Dub. Just saying.
Right. So there might be a... Right. At my local Winn-Dixie, there, which, by the way, most of them look like serial killers. Now it's just confirmed.
Well, look, what makes you think the serial killer is still living in the area?
Well, that's the thing. So this is what I think is if I had killed somebody and thrown them in the woods and I saw them doing construction, they cleared out all that land, I would move.
Right. I'd be like, right? Like I gotta go.
Yeah, it's going to happen at some point. You're going to get caught. Like, they're going to find this body at some point. So I would think that the guy left, but we're talking about stupid people and you never really know.
You never know. And not only that, but depending on how long the body's been there, there may be no DNA evidence. So they may have found a missing person, but they can't solve it because there's no DNA left.
Right. So, and I think Ethan said that there were like 20 something missing people in Jacksonville reported. And yeah, so the skull was found. So I'm hoping the teeth were found because that would be the only way to really identify them. On top of that, if it was taken from where the dirt was received, that property has been in some families at ownership for like over 100 years. So now they're saying, okay, well, maybe these were bodies of prisoners that they used to use as farmhands to clear the trees. And if the prisoners died, they just buried them.
Huh.
They know for sure that the dig site was not a burial ground or an official one because there's no burial markers. So, but they said over 100 years ago, you could have just buried either your slaves or your prison workers. if they died.
So this may not even be a murder at all. This could just be, well, that's very anticlimactic.
Disappointing, isn't it? I know. I'm hopeful.
How sick, well, wait, but how sick is it that we want it to be a murder?
Well, first of all, that's what my neighbor said. She was like, why? Of course you're thinking about the murderer. She was like, was it you? Did you do it? And I said, listen, if I did kill somebody, I would definitely enlist my son to hide the body for me. And he would definitely, because we were laughing about the location, and we said, it's right off the highway. Somebody saw the only cluster of woods here and was like, yeah, this looks good. And hey, by the way, there's a McDonald's right there. So I dumped the body and I can go eat. And I was like, that would definitely be something my son would do.
That is completely sick.
There's a possibility I did it. You never know.
Yeah, I'm sure you didn't. Let's not say that on air.
Right. You got to prove it. I'll be like O.J. Simpson. I'll get away with it.
Did he really? I mean, come on. Everybody knew.
Yeah. So from dead bodies, we also, did you see my cow post the other day?
No.
So what cow post? You have chickens in your bathroom.
Yeah, you don't have a cow in your bathroom. I know this.
No, but in the neighborhood down the street, they had a herd of cows in the front in their front yard.
What? From where?
The news didn't know. They just posted a picture of like 8 big ass cows in a neighborhood. So then the same day as the dead body, Ethan and I hop in the car and we're like, let's go find these cows.
Ah, you did it again.
I know. We're taking a selfie with a cow. So Amaris is leaving school. It's a big neighborhood. She takes one exit. We take the other exit. We're able, like, we decide that it has to be somewhere along the woods. We couldn't find a farm or anything that these things had to come from. But eventually we found the house. And then we found drops of cow manure and crap. So we knew for sure, like, we were hunting these cows. Now Ethan's out the window going, moo, and then we would listen. And then I wanted to ask the kids walking around, like, excuse me, have you seen my cows? he wouldn't unlock the window. He had his limits to how much he would allow me to embarrass him. But
wait. You're telling me Ethan had no problem sticking his head out, mooing, but wouldn't let you ask a kid if you had seen a cow?
Yeah.
There's something wrong with that.
He would rather him be in charge of his embarrassment rather than his mother be in charge of it. So,
all right.
Listen to his cow call. It's pretty good. Let's see.
But I would think. That's awesome.
So it was pretty funny. Amaris finally, we found the house and then we saw one of the homeowners. And so she pulled up and asked them, excuse me, do you know where the cows went? And they said it happens all the time.
They're getting out of someone's pasture then.
Right. Walking through the woods and this herd of cows are just out in their front yard and walking the cul-de-sac and crapping everywhere. Who do you report that to? Your HOA? Like, excuse me, I have cows in my front yard.
Believe it or not, you report that to animal services.
It's craziness.
Yeah.
So we've had a very exciting week here in the O-Dub.
Oh, yeah. Because I can't imagine a cow walking down your neighborhood.
Isn't that crazy? I'll post a picture on our Instagram page. It was the craziest sight. It was a herd of cows.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts.
I mean, I have cows, and I could never imagine my cows walking down a street like yours.
Right, yeah, in a neighborhood. Like, literally in the middle of the cul-de-sac, there was poop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. And then you could see other cars.
Pile steamy poop, right? Yes. It's not like dog poop. Shit's soft and yucky and mushy.
Yes, and then you could see other cars driving around, looking for the cows too.
Oh, okay.
So, hey, I went on a chaperone event. I chaperoned a field trip with Lorelai the other day. So, Well, that was my mom guilt getting involved, first of all, of, okay, a school emailed and said, hey, we need some more chaperones. We haven't had any. So I checked my schedule and I was able to come back into town and I said, yeah, I'm in. So then I get a phone call from Lorelai or from Nate that says, well, Lorelai doesn't want you to do it. And I was like, what? And I was like, it's too late. I've paid. And she was like, yeah, but somebody else's dad is doing it, which means all of her friends are going with his dad. And so she basically tried to kick me out of it at first. And I was like, okay, well, now it's too late.
Wait, did you have to pay to chaperone?
You do. You have to pay the admission fee to, like, in this case, we went to a museum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because public schools run on such thin budgets, you have to pay and whatever. So by this point, now she's forced with me.
Right. And of course, she doesn't want you there because you're mom.
Right. Right. So we end up with a really cool group of kids. There's, as I'm standing there, there's 6 or 7 just busloads of kids coming in to this museum, which, by the way, teachers, pointless. It is 100% pointless to bring children to a museum for a field trip. It was a shit show.
Was it really?
They learn nothing. They don't read anything. They don't care about anything there except for pushing every single button.
Okay.
Like maniacs. Like little retarded toddlers. That's what these fourth graders look like. Right?
Right.
So then I'm like, all right, fine. And then one time I was like, look, I need, everybody's going to be on their best behavior. Miss Sabrina does not like anybody to misbehave or we're going to be in some shit. And Lorelai was like, oh, you can't cuss, Mama. And I was like, whoops. All right. First mistake. Miss Sabrina will no longer cuss, which means don't talk to me because it's going to be really hard for me to filter this out.
Is this part of the reason why you're not cussing here?
Right, because I've now been banned from all public school chaperoning.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah, so we go there and we're sitting through this science experiment and in the museum leader or whatever the hell her title is counting down, right? So she goes, 5, 4. Now you count down with me. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What do you say after that?
Blast off.
See, that's what I said. And when I went to say it, all the kids yelled, Happy New Year! Huh? And so I'm like, I was like, blah, stop. Okay, happy New Year.
What the fuck?
And it dawned on me that unlike us who have watched shuttle launches as kids, these children don't, right? It's not televised the way it used to be.
Okay.
So the only countdown they're used to is New Year's.
Okay, but why the countdown to begin with?
Well, just because it was a science experiment, right? The scientist was counting down something. But to me, the trigger was when they all yelled, Happy New Year! And I was like, what about blast off? And then I was like, well, blast off is associated with shuttles.
And science.
And they, right? But they don't see the shuttles the way that we all watched it. I don't know about in your school, but as we grew up, because I didn't grow up in Florida where the shuttles were actually launching. It was on the news all the time. It was a big deal if a shuttle was launching. It was a big deal if they were going in space every single time. So we were used to blast off, we have launch, or whatever they say at NASA, where these kids all yelled, Happy New Year!
Sounds more like a fucking social experiment more than a science one. I mean, it's like they got it all wrong because if they're in a science thing, Happy New Year has nothing to do with science.
Yeah, but it's just the difference of what they associate a countdown to what we do.
Right.
And the difference in the way that we were raised where I was like, oh, all right, well, this is what makes us older than these kids now. This is what makes us a different generation than these kids now.
True. Very true.
Right. And then maybe if the NASA program returns, maybe Lorelai's kids will eventually say blast off. Or that phrase will just disappear.
No, it won't disappear because we're still alive.
Well, I'm saying with our death.
Oh, well, yeah.
Eventually, right? Like, I'd be interested if you asked Mason to count down and see what he says. Because I asked Ethan, too. Like, we counted down last night. And he said, Happy New Year. And I was like, see, it's crazy. But when I asked Nate, Nate said, blast off.
Right. That's what you're supposed to do. It's blast off.
Right. So I put it out there to our listeners and to you. Ask your children. I know we have some teachers. Ask your children to count down.
And see what they say.
I want to know what they say. Yeah.
So our teachers act. So here's the other thing. Our teachers having the kids count down and say Happy New Year. Is that like how they're.
No, it was just in a big auditorium where the museum scientist was like, okay, let's count down. She was about to explode something, right? So she was like, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And they said, Happy New Year.
And I was like, what the hell?
And all.
Right.
Yeah. And the five parents in there were like, what did they just Happy New Year.
Happy New, it doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Just that generational gap. Things that they do differently that we do. Those small, tiny things.
Right.
That.
Yeah, because
it's disconnected.
It is, because they're saying Happy New Year, but even though it's a science experience, something's about to explode. They're saying Happy New Year. It makes no sense.
Right. It's just what's associated to them with that countdown is the holiday, and not we're used to it because of the shuttles. It would always be this countdown and then it would say blast off or whatever they would say. But
right.
They're not used to that.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It was just something very small that I was like, ew, what just happened here?
Yes.
That was different.
I think science classes need to update their experiments to include some blast off.
Well, and also that it's important for our space program to come back and
right.
and be relevant again, I think was the biggest thing for me, is that I think for children these days, the fact that we're in space is just a no-brainer, right?
Right. They're just like, we're here. It's no big deal. And I was like, no, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's a very big deal where, to them, it literally is like, well, of course they're in space. That's where our cell phone satellites are. That's where everything is. Of course it's normal.
Right. Well, because they don't know what it's like to live without a cell phone or
right. without the technology. Exactly right. Yeah. So I thought that was crazy.
Holy shit. We just aged ourselves.
I know. So should we get into, do you have anything else, anything fun or crazy that you had going on this week besides the chicken? I saw you meal prepping.
Yes, I did some meal prepping, and that wasn't terribly exciting. Although you have to try that cashew chicken I sent you. It's fucking delicious. Oh my God.
I'm going to try that. That's
so
right up
good.
My alley.
Yes.
Difficult to make?
No. Very easy. You have to buy. Nice. The only weird ingredient is hoisin sauce.
I have it.
Okay. Well, I figured.
You know why? Because chicken lettuce wraps or turkey lettuce wraps, it requires hoisin sauce.
Oh, okay.
And that's one of my other favorite meal preps.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. So I do have that stuff. If not, if anybody's looking for it, it's in the Asian section of your local market.
Yep. No, super easy. You just take a casserole dish, oil it, you throw the quinoa in there, and then you put the peppers, the bell peppers, and an onion, and then cut up chicken, and then you make the sauce, and you pour it on top, and then you bake it for 45 minutes, and then you throw some cashews on top, and then bake another 10 minutes. Fucking delicious.
Yum. I'm in. I'm going to give it a try.
All right.
I'm going to give it a try. Well, then, you want to talk about poop?
No, that's your story. You have to talk about the poop.
Okay. All right, listen. This is my disclaimer, first of all. Don't judge me as a parent. I'm trying the best I can. Visually on paper, visually in photographs, we look like a normal family.
Yeah, a pretty well put together family.
Yeah, oh, you know.
After this story, I have to tell you something my aunt said to me about you and Nate.
Oh, God. All right. Write it down.
Okay.
So we don't forget. We might get distracted down this poop journey.
Well, we do always get distracted, don't we?
Right. So, all right. So I'm going to start with, we came home one night. The four of us had been out somewhere all day, came home about 10 o'clock. And there's sometimes when I get tired that I just go and sit in my room and I want to read or listen to a podcast and shut the door and just be away from the three weirdos that I live with. So I go into my room and I hear Nate scream something along the lines like, God damn it, are you guys fucking crazy? Somebody pick up the fucking poop. And I don't even ask. I don't stop what I'm doing. I'm not going to investigate. Right. I don't care. It's on the other side of the house, and I want nothing to do with this.
So I wouldn't either. I wouldn't want anything to do if my husband's screaming, my kids are throwing fucking poop. I'm like, no, I'm out. That's it. I'm done. I'm locking the door. I don't hear you. I'm going to put headphones on. Y'all fuckers figure it out.
Right. Well, see, at this point, he hasn't mentioned them throwing poop or any of that. It's just you guys are being disgusting and somebody pick up the effing poop. So we have a 17-year-old Lhasa Apso that Harley that poops in the house sometimes. I mean, he doesn't give an F anymore. He doesn't give a fuck.
Nope.
He poops where, I know, I just said it. So that's who they were referring to. So then he comes into our room. He's shaking his head. Again, I don't ask. I'm not engaging in this. He shuts our door. He's getting ready for bed. Now there's a knock on the door. And it's Ethan. And he comes in. And I know in my mind that he's going to try to engage me in this.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, hey, mama, are you going to bed? And I was like, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to bed, son. Okay. What are we doing tomorrow? I don't know. We got this going on. We got that going on. Okay. And he's like standing there and just looking at me, looking at Nate. And then I was like, all right, son, well, good night. And he's like, are we going to talk about the fact that she just threw poop on me? And I started laughing and I was like, all right, start from the beginning. So it starts, this is 10 o'clock at night. It starts from early in the morning. That Ethan walked past. So our house is arranged where Lorelai's room is first. There's a guest room and mm-hmm. Ethan's room is at the end of the hallway. Ethan walks past Lorelai's bedroom and there is a pile of dog poo in front of Lorelai's door. He yells at Lorelai to pick it up. She says, no, you pick it up. And Ethan tells her no and goes to take a shower. Ethan comes out of his shower and the poop is now in front of his doorway. She has kicked it down the hallway.
Tell me it's a hard turd.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Right? Because I guess it happened overnight or something like that. So kicked it down the hallway past a bathroom where she could have easily just kicked it into the trash can or to the toilet. Kicks it in front of his door. He opens the door. Picks it up, wraps it in toilet paper, and sticks it in her desk. In her desk drawer. And they go about their day. She now thinks that she's won. And we leave as a family. We have no idea that there's this thing brewing. We come home about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Ethan now finds the poop in his bed. So Lorelai had either found the poop before we left or immediately when we got home and has transferred it from her desk into his bed.
Still wrapped in toilet paper or out of the...
Still wrapped in toilet paper.
Okay.
Still dog shit, though. It's still dog shit.
Still dog shit.
She goes to go to bed because now I'm going to bed. We sent the kids to their room. She finds the poop in her bed.
Right.
Then she takes it and happens to catch Ethan walking past him, walking past her room, grabs the poop, chases him down the hallway with it, and throws it at him as he goes to shut the door, hitting him in the back of the head with the poop. That's when she takes off running. Wow. She starts screaming. Ethan starts running after her. And that's when Nate starts screaming at them that they are disgusting animals. What are they doing? So now I'm listening to this, just staring at him. And I'm like, you guys are fucking monkeys. Like,
poop throwing monkeys.
Right. I said, that's what monkeys do. They throw shit at each other. What is wrong with you guys? And he was like, but she hit me with it.
That's his only response.
Right. And I was like, it's disgusting. Do you know how many times the two of you walked past two bathrooms to be able to throw this shit away? And you chose not to.
Well, this is a to honestly understand how underdeveloped their brains are.
Right. Or just how insane they are. it's a matter of principle to them, right? Like, I'm not picking it up. You're picking it up. It's no longer on my territory. It's like neighbors fighting over a fence line of whose responsibility this tree is, except they are human beings throwing poo.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at him and I was like, what do you want me to do? And he was like, well, she hit me with poop. And I was like, I have nothing to say. Like, I said, get out of my room. And I was like, you guys should be ashamed of yourselves, and I'm disgusted.
And you notice Lorelai didn't go tattle on him.
No, not at all. She never even came to my side of the room. She came, so she always tattles to Nate, and he tattles to me.
Oh, okay.
So I knew when he walked in that he was going to try to get me on his side. There's no sides to this.
No.
It is disgusting.
Now, the question I have to ask is, did Ethan take a shower after he got hit with the poop? Or did he even wash his sheets?
I'm ashamed to answer that. When I asked him if he was going to shower, he was like, it hit me for like a nanosecond. I'm fine.
So then why was he in there bitching?
Because he was trying to get her in trouble.
And it didn't work.
No.
And he's 17.
18 and a half.
18 and a half.
Right.
Wow.
These are my children. I am a proud mother. 85% of the time. So when I was telling you and Dion this story, you both were staring at me like, you have to have made this up. Like, there was no way. Yeah, this is our life.
Poop throwing.
Unfortunately.
Wow. And I thought it was bad that I had a chicken in my bathroom.
Yeah, No, this is bad.
You'd rather have a chicken in your bathroom.
Right, yeah, for sure. These people touch my food sometimes.
Oh.
These people hug me. And touch me.
They cook for you sometimes.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
You should be scared.
Yeah, so like I said, I know you guys are all judging me at this moment. I agree. I'm judging my own choices and standards that I've set for my children. I don't know what else to say.
I do like, though, that Lorelai was like, fuck you, and standing up, and she's like, nope, here you go. I mean, that's a badass move.
Look, she is, both of them are quite enjoyable, and both of them, so this is the thing that I was thinking about. So, did you and your sister argue and bicker? Oh. There's a big age gap between you two.
Yes, there is. There's 8 years between the two of us.
So, did you guys tell your parents?
No! I didn't
see,
tell my...
we didn't either.
No, we freaking duked it out.
Right. And see, that's where Nate wants to get involved and have these conversations with him, and they can't be picking on one another. My sisters and I would go at it. Mm-hmm. And if something broke or somebody got hurt, we didn't say a damn thing.
Nope.
Because all of us were getting in trouble.
Yep, because that's the way it was raised. You know, it wasn't who was right or wrong. All parents involved, everybody's in trouble.
Right, exactly. So in my mind, on that side of the house, they can fling, oh God, I don't want them flinging poop. But if they are flinging it and acting like maniacs, keep it on that side of the house and keep it quiet.
Right.
Because I don't want to hear about it.
Because if you've got to go over there, there's going to be consequences for everyone.
Right. So that's it.
Yep. That's pretty crazy.
I know.
I love it, though. I love it.
I know. I'm sorry, everybody. So tell me, what did your aunt say?
Okay, so I went to, my aunt is in town from Virginia, and Wednesday I went to go have lunch with her, and mm-hmm. I was talking about the podcast and talking about you, and then I showed her pictures from the ball. First of all, my aunt thinks you're drop dead gorgeous.
Aw, thank you.
Yes. Well, hold on.
Oh, God.
I showed her a picture of you and Nate.
Uh-huh.
She thought Nate was a butch lesbian and all that you were time. A trainee.
See? Happens all the time.
And I went, no, 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 no. I said, no, no, no. I said, that's a man. She's like, huh? I was like, yeah, no, that's a man. She kind of looked at me again. And I was like, and that's a straight woman. She's like, huh? What would say what? And I was like, but she's like, look at the size of her hands. I was like, she's a woman.
I do. I have ginormous hands.
You do.
I have super long fingers. Like, look, it's as big as my face.
I know. You're hung. If you were a lesbian, you would be hung.
Wait.
Big fingers.
Oh, I was like, wait, I don't get it. Is that a thing? Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Gross.
Fat fingers and you're a lesbian.
Now I feel like lesbians are walking around with their dicks out. I'm going to be looking at them at all times.
You're welcome.
Oh, God. Now everybody else is too now, all our listeners.
You're welcome.
So that doesn't surprise me. Nate hears that all the time, that he's got a pretty face for a boy. He's got a feminine face and he wears earrings.
Right.
And so then he's heard it a lot. We heard it the other day when they were like, oh, how are you ladies doing?
Right. So right. Here's what the funny part was, though. I was trying to say, doesn't he look Filipino, you know, Asian? She's like, no, he doesn't look Asian. She could not see the Asian in him, which I thought was the craziest thing. Right. And I'm like, she's fucking ruining this because I want to be like, look, he looks Asian. But no, white bride over here is the actual Asian one. No, didn't right. work.
Right. Yeah, we hear both all the time. Either a butch lesbian. I joke about myself looking like a trainee all the time. So, and nobody's actually ever said it to me, but I assume people think it. Especially,
oh, they do.
Yeah, especially if we're out at like a gay bar or Hamburger Mary's or something like that. I probably just blend in. Again, not insulted because those women look amazing. Most of them. And then the Asian thing. Yeah, we hear all the time.
Yeah, but that was just what I found freaking hilarious. And then, of course, she's like, don't say anything to her. I'm like, no, I'm totally telling her. I'm like, that's just going to happen. Sorry.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I enjoy it. I'm down for it. So, I just got a text message from my sister. She's down 19 pounds from January 8th.
Wow.
So if we can all give...
Congratulations. Woo!
Yes. Caroline, a round of applause. We're very proud of you. Let's talk about Delta. Did you see Twitter going off about an argument in regards to reclining your chair on an airplane etiquette?
That you're supposed to ask the person behind you?
Yeah, they called it recline gate. And so it said in the article that Delta has already... I noticed that the other day when I went to lean back in the chair, it barely moves.
Right.
Recline is barely recline.
Yes.
So they have... reduced it from 4 inches to 2 inches. So it's this much that you actually go get back. And then the CEO of Delta said that we should ask permission from the person behind us if we should recline 2 inches.
You know, that's a bunch of fucking bullshit. The CEO of Delta should have fucking asked its passengers if they should have made the seat smaller or not. Because they sure don't have a problem fucking raising the rates and cramming us in there like a fucking can of sardines.
Right.
How's that for your fucking etiquette?
I agree. I've never once had anybody say to me, ask me. So I'm taller. And that's what some of the articles said. Like, well, what if you're tall? What if you're this? So it comes back on you a little more. But I also realized that this is an airplane, and this is part of being in an airplane.
Right.
It's not comfy. It's not cozy. There's limited space, and the person in front of you might recline.
But it didn't used to be this bad.
Oh, yeah, because they're getting smaller and smaller.
Right.
And smaller.
Because they're trying to increase their profits.
Right.
Which is absolutely bullshit.
Yeah, I agree. And somebody in the article or a few people said where we pay to recline. We're paying for seats that recline. We're going to recline.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. And so the article stemmed from, what would you have done? Because this is what happened and where the conversation started. Somebody reclined their chair and the person behind them punched the back of the chair.
That's not proper etiquette.
Did you realize that's where this all started from?
No, I didn't realize that.
MF-er punched the back of the chair.
I'm sorry, that would be harassment. And where's the, because, you know, on the airline, they're supposed to be, like, undercover.
Oh, marshals? Air marshals?
Marshals. Where is the marshal? Why wasn't he taken to the back? Because that's fucking harassment. There was no, I mean, why didn't the person just say, hey, it's big, it's in my space, blah, 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 could you please move the seat back up, right? No, why do you fucking punch it?
Right. Yeah, I definitely would have jumped up and said something. You're not going to punch the back of my chair. Like you said, you could have easily tapped on me and said, hey, do you mind putting it up? Which then it's up to me, right? I could either be an a-hole and say no, just right. to say no. Or I can say no because I'm bigger, I'm this, I'm that. It's more comfortable.
I have a back problem.
Right. Or I would have said yes.
Right.
And you didn't have to punch the back of my chair.
Right. So where's the etiquette in that?
No, it's insane. Now, let me ask you, you said something about air marshals. Is that still, are they on every single airplane?
I thought they were.
I think so too. Well, now that you've said it, I think that you're right, which makes me want to figure out which passenger it is.
Always. And you can never figure it out, ever.
I'm going to start playing that game. I'm going to start taking pictures of people on the plane and send it to you and try to get your opinion, air marshal or not. That's what the game's going to be.
Nice. All right. That'll be fun.
Yeah. 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 So speaking about dicks on a plane, you like my transitions?
I love them. It's awesome.
We're going to talk about the mandatory vasectomy bill that one of the Democratic parties in Alabama submitted. That I sent you a link or Twitter for.
Yes.
It was in response to an abortion ban that the state of Alabama tried to put through last year. Mm-hmm. So this female, I think she was just a House of Representatives or senator or something like that, or congresswoman.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what her title was, but she said, well, fine. If you guys want to tell us what to do with our bodies, then...
Or tell us what we can't do to our bodies.
Right. Then we're going to do the same for you. And so the bill proposed that a man at his own cost had to undergo a vasectomy within 1 month of his 50th birthday or after his third child.
And I understand what they're trying to do, but it doesn't make any fucking sense. Right?
Why is that? Okay,
so the entire thing wraps around the fact of unwanted pregnancies.
Right.
Okay? Unprepared, unwanted, whatever. Right? And that's normally why you end up having an abortion. A man at 50 years old making him have a vasectomy isn't going to stop unwanted pregnancies when you guys are in your fucking 20s.
Right.
Or your third, you know what I mean? So my proposal is every male gets a vasectomy when he's born.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he's ready to start a family responsibly, he gets it unsnipped. Very simple. And then there are no more unwanted pregnancies.
Right. Or instead of them having to undergo some type of surgery, it's some type of pill that sterilizes their sperm until a certain age where right. they're able to be responsible men that are slinging that dick around.
Right. Or I don't know if I trust them to take the pill.
Well, right. Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I mean, you're no offense, but your son is 18 and a half years old and he's still slinging poop.
Yeah, no, I mean, and even I'm not responsible enough to take any pill religiously. That's why I'm not on birth control. I mean, I'm on something that's inserted permanently, because if I had to take a pill every month, I can't even remember to take my freaking fiber gummies.
Right.
Every day. And you're supposed to take birth control at the same time every day.
With food or not with food. I use the patch. I like that.
Yeah, I have something inserted up inside my vagina.
I had that, and it made my life a living hell, and it fucking hurt, mm-hmm. and I had too many complications with that. But no, seriously, if you guys are snipped and you can't reproduce until you're ready to reproduce, that's great, because the underlying denominator in unwanted pregnancies is sperm.
Right. And I liked what this lady was doing, because she was saying, yes, this bill is absurd. Because there was, you know, people were outraged, like, this is crazy. How can we tell them what to do with their body? We can't force somebody to have a vasectomy. You can't regulate how people have children. Well, guess what? You guys have been voting on this about our bodies and rights for decades. And right. if it's not okay for you, then it's not okay for us.
Right. And so, and you know, and the other side of that argument is, you know, a lot of people say abortion is murder.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it really all depends on where you fall along the line. Right. Right. But if there's no unwanted pregnancies, there's no need for abortion.
Right.
It's problem solved.
And I like that she said that this is... It's an equal game, right? We're both, it takes two to tango in order to have an unwanted pregnancy. And so yep. if we're controlling the females and what they do, then we need to control the men too.
Correct. Because there's no accountability in our judicial system for men who have a one night stand and fucking disappear. They're not left with the results.
No, not at all.
Right. And considering, let's think, if it's a one night stand, you don't even know the guy's last name, you know, that sort of thing. And you're left with results. He gets off scotch free and goes on about his business.
Right.
And how is that fair? And then you're going to, then it's the woman's fault. She wasn't being responsible, but not him.
Right.
It's only her.
Right. And she's the one left with the repercussions financially and morally, right? Because then if she chooses to have an abortion, she's made the wrong decision. What about the moral decision of the man to not take financial responsibility for their child? And not just financial responsibility, but, right. but what about the other responsibility of the time?
Being a parent.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. To co-parenting. Right. Because it comes on to the woman. What if I gave birth to somebody and then just left it on the father's doorstep and said, okay, your turn. See ya. You forced me to have it. The laws forced me to have it. Now you take it. Now I can go to jail for abandoning my child. What about the men that have literally abandoned their kids?
That can't be considered abandonment because you're giving it to the other parent.
Right. Well, you would legally, think so, right?
Right. That's not abandonment.
Right. But imagine the outrage and the news articles if it says, you know, mother leaves newborn on father's doorstep and how terrible that would look. But I mean, it happens all the time from a male perspective.
Right. They leave it on the doorstep. They leave it in your womb.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, let's be honest, the law is not going to be passed.
No.
The whole point was just a slap in the face of this. This is the reality of what you guys have been doing to us.
Correct. And while I understand what they're trying to do, it doesn't solve the problem.
Right.
Right. I wish they would create a male birth control.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah. At least attempt it, right?
I know there was a pill at one time, but it never became popular or whatever, but, you know, birth control, you know, men need to have more options than just a condom.
Right. And I've had this discussion with men before that when we talk about vasectomies versus a female getting their tubes tied, and the opinions that I've had from men is that it is takes away their manhood, right, to have a vasectomy because they can't have children anymore. Well, guess what? That's the same thing as having your tubes tied. So why is it okay for us to take that burden and to realize it's a big deal when somebody has their tubes tied or has to have their ovaries removed and a hysterectomy? It is an emotional state for a woman to no longer be able to give birth if that's what you wanted. So why is it okay for us but not? And this is a discussion I've had with Nate too, where he's against it. That's why I'm still on this thing, because he doesn't want to go get a vasectomy. He'd rather me stay on this birth control or go get my tubes tied.
And see, that's not right.
Right. No, I agree.
And so I have a different experience. Now, I've talked to only two guys about this topic, right? Mm-hmm. And both of the people were very much for vasectomies. They're like, yep, I'll go and get Dion. He's like, you don't want to have children? I'll get a vasectomy. No problem, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, well, there's no need for that. I stay on birth control because for my body and my cycle to keep me regulated and normal, right? Which is why I'm on birth control.
Right.
Otherwise, I'd be like, yeah, you're going to have to go snip because I don't want children. And he's okay with that.
Yeah.
He's offered. He's like, yep. He even said he would take a male birth control.
Mm-hmm.
So we see two different perspectives of it, right?
Right, because I would think that, most men, the idea of, well, birth control for females has to do with our hormones, right? God forbid that we mess with the male testosterone levels. Is it going to make them less manly, less this, less that? Give me a break. You're constantly, with the birth control that females are taking, it's constantly moving our levels and hormones up mm-hmm. and down. It's no surprise that we're all batshit crazy.
Right, but they don't care about that.
No, they don't. Now, I will say in Nate's case, so Nate's had testicular cancer, so he's had one of his nuts removed,
mm-hmm.
that in his mind, that if he was to have a vasectomy, what if something went wrong, and then he'd have to be on hormone shots his whole life. So if somebody has both of their balls removed and they've had testicular cancer, they have to, have you ever seen Fight Club, like where Meatloaf is in part of a self-help group for testicular cancer survivors, and some of the men have boobs because as soon as you lose your balls,
right,
your testosterone's gone. So then you start grabbing boobs, you start crying a lot, you basically become a girl. That's his fear. So what if they make this mistake? But still, what if they make a mistake in mine?
Right.
You know, tying my tubes and I have to have a full hysterectomy.
And what do you think that's going to do to your body?
Exactly. So it's one and the same.
So is he really saying that your body is not as valuable as his?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
And I'm not sure trying to pin you two against each other.
I don't take it like that. I don't know. I think that if I asked him, he would say not at all. I'm just worried about the fact that I'm already down a man, and that he would say if that wasn't the case, that he'd be down for it. But who knows if that's true?
Right.
Because I know other men that have just said completely not doing it.
And so, you know, part of the stubbornness in me was if I was someone who said that, I said, fine, then we're not having birth control and every child that pops out is fucking yours and your responsibility. And you're going to have another baby, 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 and you're fucking going to have another baby, and here you go, and here you go, and here you go, and hand them all over to them. Something's going to give somewhere along the way.
Right, which is exactly what happened. So the results of the most recent census came out, and it showed that children in the U.S. households are down to 2.5 kids per household. I don't know where that half of a child comes in, but whatever. And that it is at an all-time low,
right,
compared to decades and decades ago.
Because our teen pregnancies are down.
Right. Teen pregnancy, birth control. We didn't have birth control up until the 70s. Right. You couldn't have abortions legally up until, what, the 80s? So, no.
I thought it was the 70s.
I think it's the 80s.
Was it?
Yeah. I don't know. I'll Google that really quick. Okay. And I only get that because I watched this big movie with, what is it called? Roe versus Wade,
yes. But that's education. That's segregation. No, wait. No, I'm getting that's Brown. That's Brown versus education.
Oh, yeah. So 1973, Roe versus Wade is the abortion. So that's when it became legal in the U.S. in all states. So up until that time, you were forced to have these kids. And so if you didn't have birth control, if you didn't have abortions, you didn't have this, you had 5 or 6 kids in a house.
Right.
Where now we get to choose not to do all of that.
Agreed. And but the other thing is when we were having those 5 or 6 kids, there was a societal standard for men. You fucking took care of your kids. Mm-hmm. You took care of the wife. You didn't fucking run away from your, you know, not, I don't want to say mistakes, but you didn't fucking run away. You manned up and you took care of it. You took care of your family because that was, you are as much responsible as those children as she was.
Mm-hmm. Which then, if you look at it from another side, that forces us in a bad situation where because men and women did have this sense of responsibility to this family, there were a lot of unhappy homes, right? And it was the against the norm to be raising children by yourself. It was against the norm for a woman to decide to have a child by themselves.
Right?
For now, we can have women that have themselves impregnated and they are raising a kid without any man, without even another partner.
Right.
And that wasn't allowed back then, or at least it's not that so much that it wasn't allowed. It just
was looked down upon.
Right.
That's true.
So I love the bill that she put through. I agree. It was absurd, but I think the point was made.
Right. And I mean, I think that's something that women as a whole need to start talking to men about in general and start pointing it out, saying, hey, you know what? You take birth control because I'm not going to. And if there's a baby, I know who you are. I know your last name and you will be taking care of this child.
Right. And the thing I like about it is it's taking away the moral approach to it. Right. We can all argue about abortion till we're blue in the face. It's something that I learned in a college class I took where they were like, we can't talk about it. You can't argue about it. You can't do it because we're never going to come to a settlement. People are never going to agree to that. But what we can talk about is prevention.
Correct.
And let's make that the issue, which is what this lady is doing. Let's make prevention equally on a man and woman.
Correct. And also, you know what? And if, you know, someone had posted, you know, if you're going to ban abortions, then child support's at time of conception. You have back child support. And the other thing is that we do not have a judicial system that requires or makes the men pay what they're supposed to pay. Now, I have seen situations where men get away with it, and I have seen situations where men get fucking screwed from it as well, because women start making fake claims and blah, 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 right? You know, and it's just like, can't we just make it equal?
Right? Well, I will tell you, so the other day I received a letter in the mail from the state of, I won't say what state it is, not the state I live in, but where my ex-husband lives, saying that they were trying to collect child support from this person. I ignored the letter because, first of all, my son's 18, and second of all, he's been legally adopted, so you don't owe any child support, but whatever. By the way, about 18 years too late, state. Thank God that I had already had it established here in the state of Florida and it was automatically deducted for all those years. But this is when you decided to help me? And then I get a letter saying, okay, the case has been closed because your kid's 18 and no longer qualifies for it. Okay, again, a little too late.
Pretty much, exactly.
It took you 13 years to try to get child support?
Right. 13 years.
What was I supposed to do until then?
Right. Exactly. And that's the biggest problem. You don't have society backing up women as far as having the children and supporting them. And you don't have your government supporting them. 13 fucking years? It's no wonder women don't want to have babies. There's no fucking support. You know, I had a friend tell me, an older friend, tell me about her experience of having a baby. So she went through the pregnancy and all the normal stuff, and then she had the baby. And then the one thing she had said was everybody was in the waiting room, smoking cigars, drinking, up and down, having this big, huge fucking celebration, a big-ass party. Never once did she mention someone coming in and being with her. Never once did she say nobody's celebrating her for having this baby. It is, I'm like, why would you want to do that? Like, that blows my mind. Where's her celebration? She just went through this. She just created and gave life, and nobody fucking appreciated it.
And I like what you said, and because this is going to move forward to our next topic, but before we do that, I want to point out what you said earlier about child support, that it should be from the inception, because as we all know, it's not. It's from the date of the birth of the child. The responsibility for a woman when it comes to childbirth and becoming pregnant is, you're right, it's from the inception, right? It's from our doctor's visits to prenatal vitamins to if there's a complication of bed rest and losing work and unpaid leave.
Yep.
The men assume no responsibility for that.
No, they don't.
Yeah, the buying of the clothes, the buying of the diapers, all of that leading up to that great day that you just described in the hospital, men aren't held responsible for that at all. So I've never heard anybody say what you said about from inception. So important.
It is, because Ali Wong, who's a comedian.
Yeah, I love her.
When she was pregnant, had a comedy tour, and one of her skits was, she's like, oh yeah, her and her husband went to the doctor, and the nurses were so fucking excited that her husband showed up, goes, oh my gosh, that's so awesome, you have a husband that showed up to the doctor's appointment. She's like, you know who else fucking showed up? I showed up, because I got the fucking baby. Where's my confetti? This motherfucker just took a day off from work.
Right. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Great point. So talking about the birth, you sent me an article about a postpartum commercial that was rejected during the Oscars.
Right.
And do you want to talk about that? You want to explain the commercial?
So the commercial shows women going through postpartum after giving birth. There are images of the woman trying to take care of the child in the middle of the night and still trying to go pee, and it hurts, and she can barely squat. She's in the mesh panties because she is still bleeding. Mm-hmm. Women bleed 6 weeks after giving birth. There is still blood consistently coming out of the vagina for 6 weeks. She is in so much pain that she cannot sit down and wipe herself.
Yeah, it shows her slowly moving down. Slowly, she can't walk up straight. She has this giant size diaper thing, because what they give us is not even a pad. It's those big white pads that sometimes they'll sit you on while they're cleaning a wound. They fold that up and stick it in your pants.
Right.
Because it's that's kind of how much blood is down there.
Right. It's like a bigger Depends.
Yeah, well, it's not even actually made for your vagina. It is made as, I'll show you one. It's about this big, about the size of a placemat, that they roll and fold, and then you're supposed to keep in your pants. Because maxi pads are just not big enough.
For the amount of blood you're losing.
Right.
And then you're still supposed to get up and breastfeed and do all these other things while he goes to sleep.
Right, and then it shows, or you can hear the baby crying. It doesn't depict a happy woman that just gave birth. It depicts the reality.
Right.
Of childbirth. Because
it's not happy.
Right.
It's not. Your body is completely wrecked.
Mm-hmm.
There was no support. There was no love at the hospital. Everybody else was fucking partying and having a drink.
Right.
Right? Why wasn't someone bringing her a milkshake or bringing her something, right?
Right.
Or being there. Why wasn't the dad up in the middle of the night taking care of the baby so she could go pee? Mm-hmm. Where's the fucking support? And then for them not to want it, put it on air is wrong. Because we do not show our public what having a child really entails.
Yeah, you're right. So that's what the article says, is that, you know, it's not allowing to show the reality of childbirth. Everybody likes to think it's this big happy picture of the mom with their hair done and they're smiling and all this great stuff. But that moment in that bathroom is it is a happy time, right? You're happy that you have a healthy baby. You're happy this, but it's also very hard. It's very hard on our body. You are given, if you have a vaginal birth, you are discharged from the hospital one day later. If you have a C-section, you're discharged 3 days later. That is not enough time to go home. And now you're responsible for feeding and taking care of this child on your own.
Considering if you only have, that is your first child. Now, mind right. you, if you already have other children that need to be taken care of.
Yeah, on top of all of that, right? And your regular duties. So it reminded me a lot of, there was a moment, now I was lucky when I had Lorelai, my mother and grandmother came into town and they were there to help take care of Ethan, me, and Nate. But it was up to Nate and I to take care of Lorelai. But I was breastfeeding, which was hard. It mm-hmm. was so hard. And I would cry and you feel like,
you're failing.
I should just be able to do this because this is what my body is done, is made for. And I'm not a good mother. Why can't I care for my kid? So it is. And this baby is hungry every 2 hours. So the moment you start to feel better, the moment you just get some relief and you sit down, the baby starts crying and then it's handed to you. So there was this moment that I had fed her. I helped and talked to my mom about the rest of the schedule. And I said, okay, I'm going to go take a shower. Got in the shower. And again, my body is bleeding. Doesn't matter if you've had a vaginal birth or C-section. I had C-sections. You still start bleeding immediately. It's all still has to come out, right? It doesn't matter vaginal or not. This extra blood and all this stuff has to come out. It's cramping. Your uterus is cramping. Your body, I like what they said. Like, they didn't show this lady thin. She just still had a saggy stomach
because you're right.
Right. You're still swollen down there. You still look pregnant. Your breasts hurt. They were scabbing from this child trying to suck the life out of me. I was in hot water showering. And then all of a sudden, here comes Nate. The baby's crying. You have to feed her. And I just started crying.
Right.
And I was like, this is so much. It's so much.
Too much.
And you can't walk out there and cry in front of everybody because they're going to be like, well, you're the one who wanted to breastfeed. And you're trying to do your best, but also not have people judge you for like, are you a bad mom?
Right.
And I like that this article and what they argued about is because we don't talk about that, when I was feeling what I felt, it makes me feel like a bad person. It makes the next woman feel like a bad woman.
Right. Even though she's not, because society has this image of it's supposed to be super easy and natural and, oh, look, this is just it. And it's no big deal. And you fucking bounce back. And next thing you know, a week later, you've got your skinny body back and everything's happy and go lucky. But it's not.
Right.
It's not. It's nothing like that.
No, you know? Not at all.
And you've got, you know, like you said, Nate knocking on the door for that. And you just got a moment. My ass would have been screaming at him, go fucking carry that baby and do something because mama needs a break right now.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, though, it's you can't. Right. If you're breastfeeding, that's on you. You're not supposed to give formulas. So it is 100%. On you while your body is still going through so much. And then you have this society pressure of this is your job. Put on a face and smile. If not, people are going to look at you like you're a bad person.
No, and that's wrong.
Yeah.
That's fucking wrong, because that's not the case. You know?
And, yeah, and censoring this commercial is keeping us women from saying, hey, this is right, and we all get this. And you don't have to feel like that.
Right. And you know what another thing is? How come the other thing was the commercial was also about postpartum products that were to help women go through this process a little bit easier. So like you had said, the pad they give you is not really a pad. It's some fucking cotton rolled up that you shove in your pants. Women have been giving birth in modern society for the last, what, 70, 80 years? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why has this not fucking improved?
Right. And why hasn't this discussion and these products that are available been talked about beforehand? Like, hey, listen, on your child's birthday, you're also mentally and emotionally going to start feeling these things. And it's normal and there's help.
Right. But nobody talks about it.
Yeah, nobody tells us. And we feel the pressure to not talk about it, which is what causes postpartum, right? You're struggling with these things by yourself. You start resenting the baby. You start resenting your feelings. You start hating yourself, your spouse, you're this, you're that. And it becomes uncontrollable.
Right. Yep. And it happens.
So, yeah, it's insane. I don't know if there's a resolution of people being more realistic in these type of ads actually making TV time, because the reality is I don't think most men want to see that. And I don't think a lot of women want to see it, right? It's depressing as fuck.
Too fucking bad. Yeah. Too fucking bad. If you're going to put child hunger on the TV and make me feel guilty about children in another country starving and dying, or the dogs fucking dying, you know what? Screw that bullshit. We can talk about what's happening to our bodies, even if it's depressing.
Right.
That's a fucking cop out, is what that is. That's a, we don't want to deal with this problem because it would have to make our doctors, our psychologists, our husbands, everybody else more aware and be accountable for what's going on. Guess what? It sucks that having it, but you need to have the support. Yeah. It's not the woman's fault. There needs to be support. Husbands, get up off your ass. Rachel Hollis said it perfectly. She goes, the men need to get down in the trenches. If your man is not helping you put on those mesh undies, you better get rid of him, because he's not worth anything. They need to be down there with you.
Right. And Rachel Hollis is the author behind Girl, Wash Your Face, right?
Yes.
So I will say, so where I was breastfeeding and that part of child care was on me, was that the solution that Nate and I found was that in the middle of the night when Lorelai woke up, the first thing you do is you want to change the baby's diaper, right? So he would get up and do that portion and then hand me the baby in bed. Okay. And then he would take her back and wrap her up. So he did. He was very good. He also had to wipe my ass because I had a C-section all the way across. And I physically could not reach back there.
Right.
Which is disgusting, but he was that partner to do that. But there's still, again, the struggle of not being able to breastfeed, the struggle of just emotionally being exhausted. I'm lucky that my husband understands that, and he's always been a good partner with that. But I had a neighbor that I wasn't even talking to. I didn't care for her. She had just had a baby. I sent her a text congratulating her, asked her how it was going, asked her how breastfeeding was, and she said it was terrible. And so then I offered, and like I said, I didn't even like her, but I went over there and sat with her, and she started crying. And I told her, it's normal. I just went through the same thing. It's okay. Where her husband worked like a shift work, so he couldn't be the way that Nate was with me. And she felt terrible. She felt like she was being a bad mom.
Right.
And we became closer friends through that situation, where like her mom, her sister, she didn't feel like she could say those things to them.
Right.
Because that she would be judged. To her, to her, her sister had all these kids already and was a superstar mom.
Right, but in reality, I'm sure her sister went through the same thing, but because her sister puts on this persona right. that everything's this perfect thing because that's what you're supposed to do, she couldn't talk to her own sister about it.
Right, exactly. That's 100% right. There's no doubt in my mind that her sister went through the same things, but as women and as a village, we don't talk about it with one another because you're worried about being judged.
Right, even from the other moms, and which... Right. That's something women need to work on. Be like, no, we need to talk about this. We need to make it open and awareness for everybody.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So going to this pregnant woman, there's this article that came out about a newborn photographer that was charged with drugging a new mom and mm-hmm. trying to steal her baby that I sent you. Did you see that?
I did, and what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, what the actual fuck?
So it said that the lady posted in, like, a photography forum and was offering, like, free newborn photos, which, you know, you haven't had a baby, but I have, and paid hundreds of dollars, if not thousands of dollars, for these newborn photos, right? So okay. this photographer knew that this would get pregnant women to respond to her. And she wasn't even really a photographer, I think. I think she was just posing as one. So the article said that her and her teenage daughter, uh-huh. 15-year-old teenage daughter, went to this lady's house a few times and the very last time gave her a cupcake. She ate the cupcake and immediately started to feel drowsy and sick and asked them to leave. And when they left, she noticed that her house keys had been stolen. And that's when she called the police.
And did they take the baby or no?
They did not take the baby at that time. So the police came. The police changed her locks for her. Okay. And then started investigating and found that this woman had multiple aliases and had visited other pregnant women up until that point. So they hadn't actually gone and stolen somebody's babies yet, but I guess they stole the keys to come back, who knows, in the middle of the night and steal the baby.
Right, because if they open the doors and there's no alarms and they just walk in, nobody hears them, and they take the babies. And I'm sure it's probably to sell the babies on the black market.
Right. Yeah. No, see, I don't think it like that. So this one said, let's see, three house visits, teenage daughter. No, it didn't. So it didn't say this, but, I don't think it's to sell it on the black market. So I pulled up, we had just watched an episode of Dateline called Abducted uh-huh. where, Heidi Brossard was killed by her best friend in Texas. And her newborn baby was stolen. Her, the girl pretended like she was pregnant, like, say I was due, so then you would say, oh, well, yeah, I'm due too, and attended the baby showers at a baby registry, pretended like she had a baby, called her friend, picked up her friend and baby, killed her.
And took the baby.
And took the baby, and then told her boyfriend, who had recently broke up with her, hey, I had the baby while I was out of town, you're a new dad. So the goal behind this lady was to steal the baby, and this would bring her and her boyfriend back together, right?
But then why have so many options? Why not just do one house and get the baby? But if she's trying to get like three or four babies, that doesn't make any sense.
I think she was more casing the situation, right? Of knowing that because she didn't kill the mom. It was, hey, let me get invited to her house. Let me find out, do they have an alarm? Do they have a dog? Do they, where is the baby's room? Where is this? So that you could come in at night.
Right.
And take the baby. And then who knows, like if they came to my house and I have video cameras where they were like, nope, this one's out. I think they were more like casing the joints.
Got it.
Than collecting babies for black markets.
Okay.
There was another case, from My Favorite Murder, the podcast, which they talked about an episode of a show called I Survive, where this lady, Tika Adams, she was a homeless lady mm-hmm. who responded to an ad of this lady saying that she was giving away free clothing for newborns. So she, again, responds, right? Just like the woman looking for free photos for her newborn.
Right.
She needs help with the cost of having this baby. She picks up Tika, takes her to her apartment, and then held her for days as she tries to cut out her baby with kitchen knives and box cutters.
Holy shit.
And in Tika's case, her 17-year-old son, the attempted murder baby snatcher, 17-year-old son, held the girl's arms down while her mother was trying to cut through her stomach to steal this baby out.
That's some crazy shit.
Yeah, and then the way that Tika got out is, like, she was able to somehow hit the lady, get out. Her intestines are falling out of her stomach, right? But she's in this baggy shirt. She trips down the apartment stairs, and now here comes somebody, and she's about to lose consciousness. She can't talk, and she's asking for help. Well, then here comes the murderer, attempted murderer, saying, oh, no, I'll help her. Don't worry, I'm calling 911. And Tika lifted up her stomach, and you could see her intestines.
Oh, my God.
And that's when the bypasser was like, holy fuck, something's wrong here.
Right.
And that saved that lady's life, and the baby did make it. But that lady had just lost her own child.
Okay. And so she was trying to replace the baby and lost her mind in the process.
Right. So that, I think that's more of the reason why women kill other women to take their baby, is either they can't have a child of their own, mm-hmm. and the mental part of just the desire of wanting a kid, the pressure of, like, if I can't have kids, then I'm not a woman, right? Also that somehow these babies will fulfill something in their lives.
Right.
They might have lost their own kid, like in the case of Tika. She lost her own, even though she had lost a 20-year-old kid. I don't know what. She should have just gone and kidnapped. So they could come and kidnap my 18-year-old son. Give me a break. Or to keep up.
But be careful. He'll throw poop at you.
Right, right. Be careful what you ask for. Or in the Heidi Brossard case, she was trying to win back her ex-boyfriend of, okay, well, I'm pregnant and we're going to be parents.
Right.
And we're going to live happily ever after.
Yeah, there's something wrong there. You know, it's just, you know how we went from, it's so crazy. We just went from bashing men to not taking responsibility. Then yet we're talking about these crazy women on the other spectrum of it too, where she's using mm-hmm. a baby to trap a man. Totally wrong.
Yeah, or to fulfill some empty need in your life that you think murdering another woman and taking that joy from them would work.
Yeah, that has more, there's some mental problems going on there.
Yeah, for sure. There was a case here in Jacksonville where at Shands Hospital almost 20 years ago, mm-hmm. A lady walked in, pretended she was a nurse. This is back when they would just bring the babies from the nursery into your room, sit them in there. There was no alarms at the maternity doors. There were no alarms on the baby's ankles that would keep them from leaving the maternity ward. The lady walked in, pretended she was a nurse, said, hey, I need to take your baby back to the NICU or to the nursery. I'll be right back. Stuck the baby in a duffel bag.
Walked out.
For 18 years, that baby went unfound.
Right.
Until the 18-year-old finally wanted to get a job. And her mom kept telling her, you don't need a job. The girl wanted a job, found her social security number, applied for the job. The background check came back declined. And they found this girl living in North Carolina as the missing newborn from downtown Jacksonville 18 years later.
Did they do a documentary on that? Because it sounds like something that I've seen, like a movie, like a Lifetime movie.
They haven't done a Lifetime movie about it, but it did make national news because now there's this struggle of, you have this daughter that loves her mom, right? She had a very good life with her mom.
Right.
In North Carolina. Her mother had lost her baby and had a full hysterectomy and wasn't able to have kids. And that's what mentally drove her to go and steal this baby and gave her a great life. But now, yeah, she stole somebody's great life here.
Right. And then for her, how this child, I mean, because this child has no connection to its biological mother.
At all. You stole that. Yeah.
You stole that. That's gone. And
right.
Now what's going to happen is her mom, who she considers mom, is going to go to jail, and she's left with going, oh shit, my whole life was a lie. And now here's this strange woman that's supposed to be my mom.
Right. Which is what happened, right? Because so then the girl met her parents, her biological parents down here in Jacksonville,
right.
But basically met them and said, okay, it's nice to meet you, but I'm about to lose my mother. She's going to jail.
Right.
Because they are prosecuting her with kidnapping and all these other things. And that daughter now has to, like you said, there's a struggle between my mom did something wrong, but she also is my mom. Then I have this family that I don't know. And people just want to say, congratulations, it's a girl.
Oh, yay, it's okay, no big deal. When really, I mean, it is. And right. You can't force that connection. So, you know, as you know, I'm adopted.
Mm-hmm.
And people have asked me, you know, have I ever wanted to reach out and have a relationship with my biological mother? And my answer has always ended up being no. I said, I don't have an emotional connection to them. I don't have a life with them. And that's not a door I want to open up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because a lot of people are like, well, don't you want to figure out who your dad is? I'm like, again, no. He's some random guy on the street. It's not a father.
Right. And you feel fulfilled with the parents you do have. So
yes.
Then you don't have that desire where, like you said, people want to force that happy ending on you, right? Like, oh, don't you want? No.
No, I don't want that. I already have my happy ending. My life
right.
was my happy ending. I don't want to go there. Right?
Right.
You know, and you can't force that. And, you know, some people are like, oh, well, okay. You know, and I'm like, yeah, well, no. For me, family is not necessarily blood.
Right.
Like, I hate the phrase blood is thicker than water because in my situation, it's not.
Right.
Because family is the people that are there for you and stand by your side and they don't go anywhere. And, you know, that's what makes a family.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't go ahead.
No, go ahead. You don't
and
have
I said,
to what?
And you don't have that with someone you don't have a connection with.
Yeah, I agree with that. Does it keep you from doing like a 23andMe? Because when you do one of those DNA results, it lists family members, which then curiosity would get to you. I would think that if you don't have that desire, then it's like, I don't even need to do one of those.
So I actually ended up doing one, and I only did it because Dee had one, my mom, and she sent it to me. And so I did it, and I'm looking more for genetic issues or that sort of stuff, or just my lineage, but
mm-hmm.
not to actually reach out. And this is where I have to figure out how I'm going to do it on the family tree because, well, do I do it on my biological family tree or do I do it on my adoptive family tree?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I have a decision to make and I don't know which way I'm going to do it. I kind of almost want to do both just to see, not that I'm actually going to reach out,
mm-hmm.
but just to see where both lines lead.
So when you do a 23andMe and it shows you, because did yours show you family members, biological family members down at the bottom or where?
Well, it's ancestry.com and I created
mm-hmm.
an account, but I haven't like gone in and played with it because
mm-hmm.
I figured out what to do with it.
Yeah. So when like Nate did his, it showed people that were connected to him biologically. So it showed like a niece and then people that have done the test as well. So my concern would be like, if you were doing it for your own personal information, does your name then pop up on somebody else's list that will think, okay, well, I'm her biological half sister. I want to reach out to her where you don't have that desire.
Right.
My question is, does it allow you to say no contact?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the account.
I mean,
if it does, I probably would click it. I mean, I have my sister actually found my biological sister, my half-sister, on Facebook. And, you know, they were asking about, oh, you want to reach out to her? And I go, no. No. Yeah. That's not my sister. I'm like, no, you're my sister, Tamara, not this other person. I've met her. I only met her one time I can remember. Yeah. There's not a connection. So.
No, that's interesting. And I understand that. I think people want to force, like you said, this Lifetime movie. They want to force this happy Hallmark ending.
Right. But that's.
And
it's not.
It's not necessary.
It's not.
Right.
Because it may end up not being a Hallmark memory or a Hallmark movie, right?
Right.
It could end up being a freaking trailer trash, you know, freaking crazy film instead, right?
Yeah, or somebody that emotionally needs something from you that you don't need. And so now all of a sudden you're becoming a crutch for someone that you didn't ask for and that you don't want, right? Like, okay, yeah, you might be my X, Y, and Z, but I'm good. And whatever you need to fulfill in your life, you need to get that on your own.
Right, because I'm not being able to fulfill it because it's not about me. It's about you and your emotional right. needs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. That's very interesting to me. Yeah. Well, so talking about having a girl and then it becomes a boy. This is, I don't know how else to transition to this, but well, I'm going to transition by transitioning. Yeah, to this transgender Megan Youngren is an Olympian hopeful, a U.S. Olympian hopeful, that a transgender biologically male runner has been allowed to race in the U.S. Women Olympic Trials. She is 28 years old. And is biologically a man.
Right.
And they are allowing her to race in the Olympics. What do you think of that?
I think right now, based on what the Olympics use as a qualifying measure, it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I read the article you sent me. And if a biological male reaches puberty, they still have physical characteristics that give them advantage over any biological woman. Their lung capacity is larger. Their muscle density is stronger. They still have testosterone in their system, even if it is at a lower level. It's unfair. Women spent so many years fighting to have a women's category in sports on all different levels. I remember reading an article that it was illegal for women to run in the Boston Marathon in the 50s. Illegal. Women could not run in the Boston Marathon. And now that we've fought so hard, biological men who want to be women, and I understand that, now want to run in women's sports. And it's unfair. It is a disadvantage to women. If transgenders who transition after puberty want to race and have athletes, then they need to fight for their own division to compete among themselves. Because we're not seeing biological women who then become men race in men's sports.
Right.
Because it would be unfair because they're still biologically a woman and they would lose every time.
Right. Well, that's what I like what you said. So that was the Olympic qualifications for a transgender said that they must have below a 10 nanomoles per liter for the last 12 months. So that's the level of, I guess, testosterone or something within their bloodstream within the last 12 months. And Megan qualified under that requirement. However, like you said, she still has a larger lung volume. She still has a larger skeleton. She still has a more dense bone mass. And it showed in the state of Connecticut that they allowed transgender males to start participating in high school sports against females, and they have taken all the titles.
Right, so which means females then are, biological females are not going to meet the requirements of achievements to make it to the Olympics.
Right, or to win state titles, to fill these titles that would allow them to get scholarships for college, to, you know, because they're going to be fourth or fifth place no matter what, instead of the top three. And it's said that these high school students said, you know, it's unfair to line up on this starting line knowing that no matter what, you're going to lose to these biologically born men.
Correct. And I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, the requirement should be based off your chromosome.
Right.
Let's just get right down to it. Forget the muscle mass. Forget the testosterone level. It should be based on your chromosomes.
Right.
And transgender then should have a category of their own. Because right. transgender, so a transgender who transitions to a woman is less strength, right, than a biological male, which right. I understand. So they're kind of in between a biological man and a biological woman. So they really need to have their own category.
Yeah, I agree. When I asked Nate about this the other day, he was really fired up about it and said, this is truly a war against women. Like, you're never going to be good enough in these categories if you're competing against men. And I told him, I was like, that's literally the sexiest fucking thing you said all week.
And, you know, the thing that gets me about this is we're just having a conversation about how it's so hard for women. We have to have a perfect image. We're having these babies. Nobody understands what we're going through. We're constantly fighting. They want to put bans on abortion. Nobody wants to help us raise the children. There's all of these factors against women. And now we got to add this on top of it.
Right.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Right. Where, you know, we want to be as supportive to the transgender community as much as possible, but it does become unfair.
Right. And I am very supportive to the transgender community.
Yeah.
I don't believe they should be fired for being transgender. I think they should go into the bathroom that they identify and look as, right? Go in there. You do your business, right? Nobody, I don't care. I don't, you know, do what you gotta do. But.
Right. Like No, I get what you're saying. Like, peanuts to us. Be given all the same rights as a woman, but don't compete against us physically, because physically,
you're not a woman.
Right. And no matter how much we train, we won't have those things that you were just genetically born with, because you were born a man.
A man. Absolutely. Absolutely. If a woman who transitioned to a man was to compete in a men's sport, they would require different advantages because they would be automatically at a disadvantage.
Right. And
that's why.
No, go ahead.
Have you ever noticed when you play golf, men tee off way back there and women tee off way up here, because there's a physiological disadvantages between the sexes.
Right. Yeah. No matter what, our bodies are just different. And as much as we don't support segregation in any, and we want to be equal, there is a reason why there are male sports, or like you said, a female or male tee.
Right.
And in this sport, we really do need them to have their own competition. Now, whether we need to add that to the Olympics, fine, do whatever you want. I don't fucking watch it anyways. Just have your own category. Yeah, we
are everywhere, but not just the Olympic, high school, state, everywhere. They should add a transgender
right.
category that biological, who were born biological men, transition to women. You have your category. And a biological woman who's transitioned to a man has their own category. Then you are competing among your peers who are actually,
right.
It is a fair competition. I mean, if you want to compete and compete and win because you're the better candidate, then you should be competing against your real competition.
Right. And I find it interesting that we don't see this on the other side, right? We're not talking about a transgender biological female that is taking titles from biological males because physically it's not possible.
They can't. Right. And they're not doing it because they
can't. But God forbid if it did.
Oh, woof. Then it'd be a problem.
Could you imagine? Yeah. God forbid if all of a sudden we were able to take titles. There was in the NHL All-Stars 2 years ago, they allowed, typically, obviously the NHL is 100% male. They allowed, it was a speed race. They allowed two females to participate as, what do they call it? An expedition, something where they basically allowed her to participate knowing she wouldn't win, knowing she wasn't a real contestant. Well, she won.
So did they acknowledge it?
They acknowledged it, but they didn't give her the honor of winning and they didn't give her the money for winning. And the men had a huge problem with it because they were like, well, she's not a part of this. She's not.
And that goes back to men not wanting to take birth control or get their testosterone. Right. Nuts snip because it's a pride thing for them.
Right. Right. And so then I think the company that sponsored the event eventually did give her money, but this year they just didn't allow her to participate at all.
Right. And once again, women are being denied access to a sport because she would win.
Right.
But at the same time, these same people are trying to scream and say that men should compete in women's sports.
Right. On a competition level, not as an exhibit, whatever the fucking word is.
Right.
Not as a oh, let's do her a favor just for fun. But they're putting them against us as true competition and taking away titles.
Right. And it's not coming from the other side. So look at this. So right now, transgender have more rights than women do on this particular topic.
Right. Which is why Nate's. Yeah. Yeah. Why Nate? And that's why Nate said it's a continued war against women. Like, it doesn't matter that three high school students that have filed a suit against the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference. It doesn't matter that they've trained their whole life for this. They're now competing against
men. Because they're still men. I don't care how you put it. I don't care how much estrogen you take. I don't care if you put boobs in or how you dress or even if you remove your genitalia. You're still biologically a man.
Right. Because which is
unfair and it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, your daughter plays hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine what's going to happen if they start allowing transgender to play on a hockey team.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, it is. It's true. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how the high school suit against the CIAC is what it was called. What the results are. The Olympic board also said that they were looking into lowering the below 10 to a below 5. But again, the traits of a male body alone can't be changed.
So they really need to have their own category and compete them. Right. And since there's so many of them competing on so many different levels, obviously there's enough demand to create their own category.
Right.
So I don't see a problem with just creating their own category.
No, me neither. I think it should be done. It'd be interesting to see what happens. I think, again, if it was a female competing against a male in the Olympics and we were taking their spots, we would see more of an outrage.
Oh, of course we would.
But because it's taking it from a female and it's just kind of tossed to the wayside.
Right. Well, I think a lot of people are more outraged about it. Because you do have these girls who are filing lawsuit. They are standing up and going, no, no, no. And you have people like your husband who are saying, this is bullshit. It's a war against women and we're not going to allow it. So there is an uprise about it and it's starting to become more and more public. And I think the really great thing is because we raised our daughters to be more self-aware and independent and strong-minded, they're going, no, this isn't fair. We're going to fight this back now before it becomes an even bigger issue than, say, maybe our generation where we just kind of went, well, right?
Right. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So we'll see what happens. The Olympic trials are starting soon. And I mean, I'm sure she's going to progress through it. I'm sure Megan will make her way onto the U.S. Olympic team.
Yep.
I mean, just science and biological traits alone is going to put her in an advantage. So we'll see how that goes. So,
yep. And I will tell you what, and if it does happen, which I'm sure it will, I will no longer support the Olympics. And that's the mm-hmm. other thing. Other people should go out and not support them. Hit them where their pocketbook is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Same way with NFL. People boycotted the NFL for their, you know, the reasons for Colin Kaepernick. And people supported it for that. So mm-hmm. capitalism.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way to make a difference, right? Is to hit them where it hurts, and that's money-wise. Now, I personally don't even care for the Olympics anymore. It's on TV for hours and hours and hours for fucking weeks at a time. I do watch gymnastics. Do you watch any of the Summer Olympics?
None.
Yeah. I watch gymnastics and sometimes the figure skating.
The only way I'm watching Olympics is our cousin in Ohio is a big gymnastic. She's a big gymnast. So if she ever makes it, I'm watching it for her. But outside of that, I'm not watching it.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay. Well, that's all I have. We great topics this week, and we dove into a lot. We're interested to hear what everybody else has to say. Yes. Your thoughts about it all. If you voted me the worst mother in history, I understand.
You're not the worst mother in history.
So why don't you say goodbye to our listeners?
All right, guys. As always, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, send us an email at notasafespacepodcast@gmail.com. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. So find us there. Bye, guys.
Bye.